الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك فلك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. My brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, aunties and uncles, friends and family, I greet you all with the greeting of universal peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm, for the first time in my life, in the most real way, facing my own mortality. One of the tricks of being young is that you feel like you're going to be around forever. We all walk around telling ourselves a story about how we're going to live forever and all of the goals that we're going to achieve. And we naturally work from that place to try to make the most meaningful existence we can while we're alive. And we spend our time enjoying life as we should, and spend our time entertaining ourselves as we should in a way that is meaningful. And we spend our time in enjoying life. And then you get periodic reminders about the fact that you're not going to be here forever. And as if we were blinded from our own intelligence, we have reminder after reminder every day of people who are probably better than us, in far worse situations, experiencing some form of difficulty or suffering, or maybe just straight up dying before our eyes. If you're in the city of Chicago or in the greater Chicagoland area, you don't have to look very far to see death happening real time in a very sad, in a very real way. But I was diagnosed this last week, according to the extensive different medical experience I've been through in the last few months, with a terminal illness. And by the statistics, I hit 40 this year. So according to the demographic statistical conversation, I already beat the bet anyway, because I made it to 40, alhamdulillah. I'm supposed to be dead or in jail, and right now I'm neither of those things. May Allah save us from ever going to jail. I used to work in the prison. If you work in the prison, you know how ugly that really is. But I'm facing this idea of mortality in the most real way I've ever faced it in my life. This illness that I'm dealing with began with my inability to sing the way that I used to sing. And you know, brother, think you can sing. So I was like, what's wrong? My voice is getting deep. So I started going to ear, nose, and throat specialists and have my vocal cords examined. They're like, your vocal cords are fine. And then pretty soon, I started drooling. People made fun of me. Ah, how are you drooling? And I was like, yeah, I'm drooling. And then pretty soon, I couldn't eat the way I used to eat. It was really difficult. They started choking on food. And then it started to affect my speech. It even started to affect my ability to kiss my children. My lips weren't working right. And when you're a public speaker, it's kind of awkward when you can't speak. So I've been facing this thing in a very real way. And today, without any pretense or exaggeration, it's the first time I've spoken about it publicly. And I'm not saying it to try to get your pity, because we are pitiful enough as it is. And I'm not saying it to make you depressed. I'm saying it because there's two groups of people that in my career I knew that if I talked to them, I had to keep it 100. The first group is people who are incarcerated. I walk into a room, 300 inmates in the room have to give a khutbah. I walk in and say, look, you gotta keep it real. Because these dudes, their whole joint is real. I can't get up to talk about patience to people who've been in prison as long as I've been alive. I can't get up there and theorize about some esoteric idea of spirituality with people who live in the hellhole. So working with the brothers inside, it made me kind of realize, man, if you don't talk to people, you gotta speak from the heart. But the group, even more than the brothers inside, who I know I can't front and from, is my babies, the children, the youth of this ummah. Because y'all can smell hypocrisy from a mile away. So I'm speaking from that place because I don't want to front. You know, we had an event at Tetlif a few weeks ago with our youth group. It was Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And I walked into a room full of beautiful, young, bright teenagers. And I looked at them, I was like, hey, assalamu alaikum, guys. And they looked at me like I was the devil. Who wants to be up at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday hearing some old dude preach to them? I was like, hey, assalamu alaikum, takbir. They're like, oh, I don't know. I called for the stop. I was like, Maya, save me. Because there's a purity and a good and a light in you all that anybody who speaks to you knows you got to keep on 100. May Allah bless you all. So I'm sitting in this place of real, all the stuff that I never thought I would say, I say to myself. I never thought it would happen to me. One in some 100,000 or 200,000 people get ALS. Alhamdulillah, I got it. And I'm sitting in that place and trying to realize that, like, yeah, pretty soon I probably won't be able to talk. It will probably take over my ability to talk. And Allahu Akbar. And in that place, for the first time in the realest way in my whole life, I'm beginning to understand what it means for us to lean into and to really live from a place of shared weakness. For us to realize that our strength as a community, it isn't in the ways that we are strong as individuals, because we're all strong in different ways. But it's in the ways that we all share weakness. وَخُلِكَ النَّسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. The human being was created weak. Last week in Tetlif, Chicago, we had a day-long retreat. And during the break, Brother Ali, a very dear friend of mine who some of you may know, a very beautiful thinker and poet and writer and leader and lover and a really, really dope MC, Brother Ali. He was there and we went to go take a break. We went to go take a break between sessions. So we stepped out of the, we kind of snuck out, technically, out of the session to go to a friend's house who lived nearby to eat lunch and rest for a little bit. And the staff were all really busy doing stuff. And so we just kind of rushed out and we were gonna just take an Uber. And then once the someone ordered the Uber, I think technically it was a Lyft, they came out there, no, we'll drive you. We're like, no, it's good, they already ordered it. They're like, no, we'll drive you. We're like, no, we got it, it's good. They're like, no, please, we're like, really, don't worry, you're not gonna get in trouble. We're okay, we got the Lyft. Four different people tried to give us a ride. Four different people. Then Brother Ali, he's legally blind because he's an albino. He can't see very well. And he, you know the awkward moment when you try to get in the wrong car thinking it's your Uber? If you think that's awkward, my name on my Uber account is Whitney, which is my legal name. Every time I get in the Uber, they're like, Whitney? I'm like, yeah, they're like, I was looking for, I know, a girl. It's me, sorry to disappoint you, bro, it's me. So Ali goes to get in the wrong car. He almost locked this man's car. I said, I'm sorry, I thought you were an Uber driver, it's okay. So then he steps back, and our Lyft driver pulled up. And Ali got in the front seat, I got in the back. And Ali was looking this way, and he said, how are you, to the driver? And he didn't respond. I was like, that's awkward. Then Ali looked at him and he said, "How are you?" And the man said, "I can't hear." So I can't hear. I'm hearing impaired. Ali said, "I can't see." I was in the back like, "I can't do much. Let's go on a road trip. Write a book about it." And then the driver said to Ali, he said, "You listen and I'll look. You listen and I'll look. Let's hold one another in our weakness. You listen, I'll look." And it thrust me into a state of sheer gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the midst of an illness, it thrust me into a state of absolute gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I realized I'm sitting here, I got my own stuff I'm dealing with, but I can still see right now. And I can still hear right now. And I can still move my hands right now. All the stuff we take for granted. Every day we walk around forgetting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us faculties, gave us intellect, gave us speech, gave us hearing. May Allah make us more grateful. Allah said in the Quran, verse 78 of Surah An-Nahl, "Wallahu akhrajukum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'an." Allah brought you forth from the wombs of your mothers and you didn't know anything. And you didn't know what?
Anything.
La ta'lamuna shay'an. You came out of your mother's womb, didn't know anything. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمَ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And He gave you hearing, and He gave you sight, and He gave you a perceiving heart in order that you might be grateful. May Allah make us from those who are grateful.
Amen.
They said, if you want to do a project, go home and sit down and take a list. I would say get a pen and paper, but y'all probably never heard of either of those things. When I was a boy, we used to use a feather. My son said, "Baba, did you have a cell phone when you were in high school?" I said, "No." He said, "Why not?" I said, "We didn't have them." He said, "Why not? Like, why would you not have a cell phone?" I said, then we got them at the end of high school. They were just about that big. There was a brick. Y'all remember the brick? Huh? The Miami Vice phone? Huh? So I would say get a pen and paper, but you're not going to do that. So take out your computer or your device or your tablet and actually make a list. For real. Somebody try this. If one of you or two of you tried this, it's enough. If we all try, it would be great. Make a list of the things that you have to be grateful for. Actually write them down. So start with, for example, existence. The fact that you are. It's a pretty big one. Because guess what? If you weren't, you wouldn't know you weren't. If you didn't exist, there'd be nothing to complain about. Right? Ijaz. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you into existence. Thank Allah for whatever mystery led for your parents to meet in the first place. Your parents got a story how they meet and fall in love. How did your father convince your mother to marry him? Or her father, right? How did I convince my wife to marry me? That's a whole other story. I told my wife, no. Man, I had the honor of trying to learn a foreign language and speak game in a foreign language all at once. I lived in Morocco, right? And I'm trying to like learn this language and marry the girl at the same time. How anti to hippie nani hoban get here. I said to my wife, as we got married we did our kitab, I said, "How tesharina be that a shaky botniki? You feel that in your stomach?" She was like, "Nam, nam." Butterflies. She told me this. She said, "Well, I ain't feeling nothing but hungry." And from that, I suffered from hunger. How did your parents meet? And then they wed. And then you were conceived. And out of all those sperm that swam up, you made it. And then you were conceived. And you didn't die on the way. Who Allah Khalid and Bari and Musawwir. He is God, the creator, the evolver, the fashioner. He created you, then he evolved you in the womb of your mother. Then he fashioned you perfectly. Made you so beautiful that you're the most beautiful you that ever was. Even the monkey in his mother's eyes is a beautiful gazelle. Right? Thank God for our mothers. Then you gotta thank God for your mom. May Allah make us more grateful for our mothers. And then your dad, the poor guy. The poor guy. Yeah, the poor guy. My son gave my wife a chocolate. I said, what about me? He said, your mother, and your father. I looked at him and said, no more hadith for you. The last hadith you ever gonna know. Poor dad, you gotta thank God for dad too, right? I'm gonna tell you a little something, because you're young right now. A lot of the stuff that you hate about your parents right now, I got bad news for you. Two pieces of bad news. Number one, you're gonna become the exact same thing. Second of all, you're gonna thank them one day for the stuff they're telling you right now. My daddy's punchline, like my daddy's Aqulu Qawli Hadha wa Astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Like when you knew his lecture was about to be over, he would say, he'd go on for hours. He said, and if you're not careful, you're gonna end up where you had it. But you know, you have a daddy who's from Shawnee, Oklahoma, whose daddy's from Tyler, Texas, you get all kind of fun stuff. He said, you have the luck of a hungry buzzard. Couldn't kill nothing, wouldn't nothing die. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So my dad's punchline was what? If you're not careful, you're gonna what? You end up where you headed. And now I was always so glad when he said that because I knew the lecture was about to end. One day I was with my friend. I was in the Siha mode. Akhi. This and that. And I said, if you're not careful, I was like, oh no. I just became my dad. You gotta be thankful for your dad. Then your siblings. You're like, thankful for my siblings. Yeah. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, blood is thicker than mud. Blood is thicker than mud. When it really counts, you know who's gonna show up for you? Your blood. Thank Allah for your siblings. Really. Thank Allah for their stupidity. Alhamdulillah that my brother is such an idiot. Alhamdulillah that my sister is so petty. I ain't talking about mine or yours. Huh? I ain't gonna get in trouble now. Huh? What else? Thank Allah for your roof. There's a song that I believe should be the American Qasida to end all Qasidas. It's a song by a man that, raise your hand if you know who Donny Hathaway is. It's an honor for me to introduce you, Donny Hathaway. For those of you who follow the opinion that some music is permissible, go home if you find it permissible. If you don't, and I'm not even kidding, if you don't, then you should follow the opinion you feel comfortable with. If you find it permissible, oh, I have a solution for you. Look up lyrics on Google search lyrics to a song called Thank You, Master. Thank You, Master, by Donny Hathaway. Thank You, Master, for my soul. And he thanks Allah for the different things he wakes up with that day. You know, one of the lessons I learned in my life was from a man who at that time had been in prison for 27 years for a crime he didn't commit. And if any of you say they all say that, you don't know much about prison because they don't all say that. I've only met a couple people who claim to be innocent my whole career. Because if they did it, I mean, you're in prison 27 years, what you got to hide? Admit it, I did it, fine, I'm here. This man be in prison for 27 years for a crime he didn't commit. One day, I was leaving work. He said, "What's up, Ock?" I said, "Man, I'm just not looking forward to the drive home." He looked at me square in the face. He said, "Ock, you know what I do to drive home?" He said, "You know what I do to have someone yell at me on the road?" He said, "You know what I give to be able to drive on the hill and see a cow on the side of the hill?" Then he said to me something I'll never forget. He said, "You've got to learn to appreciate the ugly things in life." Yeah. You've got to learn to appreciate what?
Ugly.
The ugly things in life. So you got to thank Allah for your roof. Thank Allah for the... One day I said to my friend, "So how are you doing?" He said, I got water coming out of 3 different faucets in my home." How many of you even know how many different places fresh, potable water comes out of the walls in your house? Have you ever sat and counted how many sinks you have or showers? I think I'll use the East Wing shower today. And so on and so forth. Your health, your wealth, your education, your clothes, the safety, the security, the internet, your teachers, the lights, your fingernails, your eyelids. Onassis is one of the richest men in American history. And the nerve, I can appreciate this now, because my body's withering. I can feel my body. My body's withering. I'm trying to lose stuff in my body. How many left? He lost his nerve in his eye that held his eyelid up. Anybody down to do a little interactive learning real quick? Somebody hold their eyelid up. Who's down for it? I mean, hold them both up with your fingers. Hold them up. Hold your eyes open as long as you can. Hold them open. Hold your eyes open. And when you can't do it no more, it's already bothering me. What do you feel right now? Feels dry, right? Now blink. You ever said thank you to Allah for his ability of money before? Alhamdulillah. Achi, his muscle or whatever it is, sorry, my physician, whatever it is that holds his eye open, it stopped working, achi. His eye, he couldn't open his eyes. So he used to put band-aids on his eyes. Band-aids, Onassis, Jackie Onassis' father. Put band-aids to hold his eyes open. And then he had to carry Visine, like fluid, and he had lubricant around to lubricate his eyes. But thank you a lot for eyelashes. For eyebrows. Look, you got hair right here that keeps growing, at least to for a certain point. My nation. You have hair here that what? Keeps growing. Look at me, look. Then you got hair right here that grows but stops growing. Then you got hair right underneath it. Some of y'all are like, "I wish my eyelashes would keep growing." I just trim them, right? Your eyelashes, they grow, then they stop. Look. Then most of us, or some of us, have hair a few inches, but keeps growing. SubhanAllah, you got 5 different hair joints on your joint. So you keep writing the list. Keep writing the list. Keep writing the list. Keep writing the list. If you run out, then you should sit a little bit longer, because you're going to keep going. Going. At the end of it, you start to feel the sting in your heart. You start to feel shy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start to feel like, "I ain't do nothing to deserve all this. I haven't even said thank you. I haven't even lived a life that was a testimony to gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And He keeps giving me more and more and more. Every day I wake up, it's another gift. May Allah make us more grateful. What really matters? What really matters, and I say this to you, especially to my children in the room, the only thing that really matters is living every single moment with complete and total full presence of love. Nothing else matters. Even when you fight from love. Even when you argue from love. Even when you disagree from love. even when you disagree. And if you're not disagreeing, then it should be easy to love. One time, brother came out the masjid, he kissed a brother on the cheek. Brother said, "Hey, don't kiss me, that's not from the sunnah." Brother said, "But I love you." How are you going to respond to that? That's not from the sunnah either. Yes, it is. None of you will enter paradise until you believe. You won't go to paradise until you believe. And you won't believe until you pause, pray to Hajjud, spend a lot of money, read a lot of Quran. You won't believe until you This is the great forgotten hadith of modern Islam. An Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لن تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولن تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. None of you will go to paradise until you believe. And none of you will believe until you what? Let me hear you say it. Love one another. Till you love one another. Should I not indicate to you something if you do it? تحببتم. You'll love one another. Does it tell us, Ya Rasulullah? He said what? Spread peace amongst yourselves. May Allah make us from the peacemakers. Piece of advice about what it means to be doing this thing called being Muslim. And I can't say this with more clarity and more sincerity than I'm about to say it. So for those of you who are listening, listen up. And for those of you who are not listening, listen up. And for those of you who are sitting in the front row, listen up. They're fine. Leave them alone. Those are my babies. Leave them alone. You want to come up here? Be loud. Come up here. Come up here. Come on. Come on. Bring Issa with you. Come on. Come on. Issa, get up here. I need help. Get up here, boy. Come on. Come on. You come too. What's your name? Come on, Issa. Come on. Say, sit on my Hi. You want to sit down and we'll stand up. Come here. You want to sit up here? Bilal, come up here. Come here. Come here. What do you want to do? Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Come here. You sit right here. Sit right here. Sit down. Sit down. MashaAllah, may Allah protect our children. You know, the only thing in the world really matters to me right now? That right there. May Allah bless our children. May Allah protect them from every evil eye. How you guys doing?
Good.
Say alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
How are you? Scared? If you're going to sit down, they'll be quiet, all right?
Okay.
Be quiet. I'm talking. I'm trying to talk. Be quiet. You promise you be quiet?
Yeah.
Be like, you be quiet? And then you go. Hey, at least you're honest, though. You know what I'm saying? May Allah bless all our children. You want to sing a song?
No, I need to. I need to hear.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so at my grandma's house, it's like a bunch of cats. Like, it's a bunch of cats.
Okay.
And another cat.
Nice, nice.
And Harry and he's a guinea pig, so Granny and him come in the house, and he mostly lives outside when
it's
sunny.
Nice, 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 nice. You want? Hold on, cool. You want a freestyle for us? Freestyle. Do a little rap for us. Come on. Do a little rap for me. Okay. Here we go. All right. This one up.
Rabbit in the costume, you know, in a big bowl, it's so good. It's soup, so you know, it's really much mellow. So how about you just tell the elevator to see a back around? Oh, man, that's sad. Daddy family. Okay, that's hard. Now how about you just say one thing for 1 minute?
A lot of Bilal, the silent witness. He's the silent witness. May Allah preserve you both. Hey, if you go over there, you gotta be quiet. Bilal, hey. And go to your daddy, go. What I was gonna say was, I started thinking, like, I converted to Islam in 1996, and like the main thing, for whatever reason, true story, on the record, for whatever reason, it was two main things we were talking about. The Khilafah and Hijra. Two of my first vocab words in Islam, before Mahabba, before Al-Adid Bayt, before Sahaba, were Khilafah and Hijra. We gotta work to establish a Khilafah. My daddy, this man born in Oklahoma in 1942, I was sitting in my family room with a robe on, from his perspective, pajamas. And some scarf on my head. He said, son, who are you going to vote for? I said, I'm not going to vote. He said, well, why not? I said, because I'm working to establish the Khilafah. He looked at me like, this child lost his mind. He just walked away. But I thought, I didn't know Khilafah was running for office, right? They told me I got to work for a Khilafah. Then they were like, yeah, we gotta leave the land of the Kufar. We gotta up and leave. Hold on, you mean to tell me part of my ancestors came and colonized this place and raped and pillaged and took people out their home? Other part of my ancestors had their land stolen, had to watch their babies get their heads kicked in by the cavalry man's boot. Other part of my ancestors had to be hung from trees and work the cotton fields for me to up and leave the land of the who? We gotta make Hijra. Okay, let's make Hijra. So I went to the Muslim world. I remember standing at the post office. Y'all heard of a post office before? It's a place where you send, never mind. You read about it later. It's called snail mail. I went to send a letter at the post office in an unnamed Muslim country. And I remember standing there waiting in line, and the line took forever. And then I realized it wasn't a line. It was just an ocean of people going around me the whole time. And welcome to the Muslim world, right? My friend brought his shoes and he put them outside the masjid. Can you go to the masjid, leave the shoes at the masjid door? Not in the Muslim world, you know. No, you don't. I said, where's your shoes? Oh, I left them at the door. I was like, bro, it's all bad. He said, why? I said, your shoes are gone. I said, no, he ran the Muslim world. I said, well, come on. Shoes is gone. Then we found the guy who sold them. He's like, yeah, those are my shoes. They're like, no, these are mine. He's like, Akhi, those are my shoes. Like, I'll sell them to you. Welcome to the Muslim world. You gotta be kidding me. Then I found me a woman from the Muslim world. I brought her home. I brought me one home. A Muslim girl. Muslim world. And we landed in the summer of 2001. No, maybe before that. But by the summer of 2001, she's pregnant. Then on September 6th, 2001, 5 years almost to the hour of my Shahada, she gave birth to my son. I became a Muslim and a father the same day, September 6th. 5 days later, my friend called me about 7 o'clock in the morning and said, bro, they flew planes into the Pentagon. I said, what? I had dial up, pulled the internet. You remember that picture of Bush's face with the airplane? You remember the picture in the airplanes? I said, what? My daddy called me. He said, they think more people died than this in Vietnam. He said, don't leave your house. Do not leave your house. I said, what's going on? My wife is laying in bed with the baby, 5 days old. September 11th happened. Then I watch the Muslim community get their language right. They start talking proper. They be like, Chuck won't go let them talk like that no more. Some of y'all know who Chuck is. Some of y'all, you'll learn who Chuck is, one way or the other. Chuck ain't gonna let you talk like that no more. Jihad and voting is haram and hijra and kufar and I heard that stuff in the minbar. I watched all that happen. Then we watched right the birth of the beautiful world of Islam and social media. The cyber mosque. The beautiful world of what? An Islamic move from reality that can happen in the cloud. Where you're supposedly going to learn your deen in some fake Dajjalic web space. My name's Google. Welcome to what? From Hijra to hashtag. Here we are. Hashtag fluid. My advice, focus on the timeless universals. Do not focus on the passing incidentals. That's my advice. Because there's some timeless universals. I'm going to give you one. Your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed that you worship none other than Him and that you're good to your parents. Prophet ﷺ said, should I tell you of the worst of all sins? أَلَّوْ نَبِيُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Call it Ishraku Bilal or Kukir Walidain. He says, shall I tell you the worst of all sins? That you associate partners with God and that you're foul to your parents. May Allah save us from that. That's a universal. You want paradise? Go through the door to paradise. Ask your mother to pray for you. Wallahi. Wallahi. Thumma wallahi. Thumma wallahi. The first place I go when I need something is to my mama. Before any shaykh that I have. Mom, I got the situation. I need you to pray for me. Your parents is universal. You know another universal? Your neighbors. Forever. My father-in-law is one of my primary teachers in Islam. And I don't usually talk about people's names when I tell these stories, but the fact that I might not be around for much longer makes me feel like I should maybe say the names. His name is Mulay al-Hassan ibn Muhammad al-Alawi. He studied with a man named Sheikh Muhammad ibn Habib al-Amghari al-Hassani, who was one of the greatest scholars of the last period. He was one of his direct students, one of his only living direct students, one of the greatest scholars of Islam of the last period. He was in my home upstairs in the in-law unit. And about 4 o'clock in the morning one day, I heard the door rattling. Let's just say that I responded in a way that a husband would respond if he felt he had to defend his home. Fill in the blank as you will. Went to open the door. My wife said, stop, it's my dad. Don't shoot him. It's my dad. I said, what is he doing? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. She said, he's going to take out the neighbor's garbage. It wasn't no Muslim neighbor, Mr. Dave or whatever his name was, the guy with the Harley. I said, what? He's going to take out the neighbor's garbage cans before Fajr? Why? Because he learned in Islam to focus on the universal. The neighbor's going to be there forever. Gabriel continued to advise me regarding the neighbor until I feared that he would give him inheritance rights. Somebody whose neighbor, listen, and this applies to our whole nation. Somebody whose neighbor does not feel safe from their harm will not even smell the scent of paradise. You won't even get in the arena. You know what else is universal? Orphans. Orphans. That's universal. Never going to go anywhere. Prophet Joseph said, I am the one who take care of the orphan will be like these two on the day of judgment. May Allah make us from those who care about orphans. It's going to be forever. You know what else is going to be forever? Poor, needy people. The people of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll end with the story. The story of 10 coins. One day the Prophet came out to buy himself a garment. And he went to the store and he spent 4 coins on a garment. So he went and bought this, say, a robe. It's called a kameez, which it has to be like a robe or a long shirt. He bought this one fit. Put it on. He came out, and the man from the Ansar, people in Medina, said, "Ya Rasulullah, let me get that shirt." For real, bro, like, for real. "Let me get that shirt. May Allah give you a shirt from the shirts of paradise." Now imagine that. Don't get any ideas now. Imagine, walk up to your elder. "Hey, brother Imam, let me get that juba though. May Allah give you a juba from paradise." He tell you, "My son, may Allah guide you. This is my special juba," right? The Prophet took his robe off and gave it to the man. Check it out. He went back in and he brought another one. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Seems we live in the American dream. It was a great poet from Chicago who said, "Seems we live in the American dream. People are high, self have the lowest self-esteem. The prettiest people do the what? Ugliest things for the road to riches and what? Diamond rings." He said, we could buy our way out of jail, but we can't buy freedom. We could buy a lot of clothes, but we don't really need it. When he went back in, what does it tell you? He needed the robe. He wasn't buying clothes to show off. He bought the robe, went out, man took it off his back. He went back and bought another one. So if he spent 4 coins the first time, and spent 4 coins the second time, how many does he have left?
Two.
You are good at math, mashallah. He walks up to this young lady, who was described as a Jardia. Sheikh Hisham Mahmoud can correct me, it means a slave girl. A bondswoman, right or wrong. She was a slave girl, and she's crying, sitting in the streets of Medina. Now, if you saw her, you'd be like, "Astaghfirullah, sister, right? I'm Muslim. Make dua if you walk by." What did the Prophet do? He said, "Ma'am, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" She said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, the people who own me, they sent me to the market to buy flour for them with 2 coins for hadaka. And those 2 coins have been consumed. They've been what? They're destroyed. They're gone." She didn't say, she just said, "What? The 2 coins are no longer with us." What did he do? You already know what he did because he's your Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he do? You already know what he did. What did he do? He gave her the 2 coins. Here you go. Now you want to know what it means to be a Muslim? It's to be the kind of person who gives someone the shirt off your back and the last dollar in your pocket. That's the sunnah. That's it. Then he went on and he left. He came back and she's still crying. He said, "Why are you crying? I gave you the money." She said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I bought the flour, but now I'm late. Well, khafu in your dibun. I'm afraid they're going to hate me when I get home." So the Prophet walked with her home. And they said, she lived on the other side of Medina, right? How long does it take to get from one side of Chicago to the other? 20 minutes without traffic. Y'all the most lying group here in my whole life. Hey, how long does it take? 20 minutes without traffic. Can we talk about the fact that there's always traffic? So can we just say, how long does it actually take to get there? But imagine one side of Chicago to the other. Hey, can I get a ride? Hey, where you stay at? Right? Because I give you a ride to the train. Right? Yeah. Hey, man, can you walk me home? Where you live at? Right? We got conditions on how we serve. May Allah forgive us. So the Prophet walked her home. And when he got to the door, listen up. When he got to the door, he said, "Assalamu alaikum." They didn't respond. Then he said, "Assalamu alaikum." And they didn't respond. Then he said, "Assalamu alaikum." And they said, "Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh." فقال لهم صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ما سمعتم أول السلام. Did you not hear me say salam the first time? قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. They said, we heard you. He said, why didn't you return my salam? They said, because They said, because we know if you said salam to someone and they didn't return it, you just keep saying salam. And we wanted you to keep saying salam to us. If you said salam to someone and they didn't say it back, you would what? We knew for sure if you said salam and they didn't respond, you just keep saying salam. We wanted you to keep saying. He didn't say to them, listen, Islam says. Anybody ever say to you, Islam says? Hey, word to the wise, wallahi, to my young brother and sister. Anyone ever tell you in your life, Islam says? Tell them, my uncle Osama told me. If anyone ever says, Islam says to me, he said, you have to introduce me to Islam. I want to hear it from his mouth. Where is he? I want to see him right now. Islam, did you really say that, Ark? Nah, man, that wasn't me, man. Man, that was Buddhism, man. I didn't say that. Islam says, Hisham, have you read in your career any book that ever said, wa yaqulu al-Islamu?
Not any book I ever continued.
Exactly. I never read in my life a book. In my life. When I say book, I mean book written by people of before we were looking through the lens of post-colonial traumatized people. A book before we were polluted. May Allah save us. قال الله عز وجل قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah said, the Prophet said, and we understood that from this, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And Allah knows best. People say to you, what? Sister, Islam says, brother, say what you mean. You say. Brother, tell the truth. Just be honest. Take out the S-L-A-M and just say, I say. That you should say. They didn't return salam to Rasulullah. What are you saying? He said, listen, I'm worried about this young lady. Is she going to hit her? I came here because I'm worried. She was late. I'm afraid you're going to hit her. You know what they said? They said, Ya Rasulullah, because you walked her home. Yeah, really, what she left. Because you walked her home, she's an emancipated woman, Ya Rasulullah. What did he say? He didn't say, yeah, I'm pretty much a prophet. I pretty much like do a lot of activism. Pretty much like hashtag prophetic sacrifice. No. You know what he said? لَقَدْ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِي الْأَخْرَةِ. Allah put barakah in those 10 coins. Who did? Who?
Allah.
Allah put barakah in those 10 coins. He gave his prophet a shirt to wear. And he gave a man from the Ansar a shirt to wear. And he saved a woman from slavery. $10. It was dirhams. 10 what? 10 dirhams. Helping the poor people is a universal. If you live in the Chicagoland area, I don't care if you're 12 or 60, and you don't know about the poor people, then you're veiled. And I fear for you in front of Allah, Yom Kippur. And I don't mean you wrote a check. Write the check. Are y'all with me? I'm going to sign it again. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Write the check. And then another check. And then another check. But go sit with the poor people. Sit with them. Meet them. Eat with them. Then you're on the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Focus on the universals, not in the particulars. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Allahumma love of the poor people. And he grants us the ability to do good. And Allahumma, if you want fitna for your servants, bring us back to you without any fitna. Ya Rabbi al-Alamin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi'l al-khairat wa tark al-munkarat wa hub al-masakin. Wa idha aradta bi ibadika fitnatan faqbidna ilayka ghayra maftunin. Ya arhamar rahimin. Ya arhamar rahimin. Ya arhamar rahimin. May Allah bless you all. May he make your lives of happiness and health. May he make your lives of light and love. May he bless all your families and your homes. May he fulfill all your aspirations in your careers and your studies, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May he make us from the people of Islam and Iman and Ihsan. May he make his people follow behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our speech, in our actions, and in our states of emotion and mind. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. We thank you for this opportunity to praise you, Ya Allah. We thank you for this opportunity to extol your greatness and your beauty, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us that we know and those that we do not know. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. We thank you, Allah, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank you for the Quran. We thank you, Allah, for the Ummah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Make us people of gratitude, Ya Allah. Let us live lives of gratitude, Ya Allah. And let us alone with that death of gratitude, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. And raise us amongst the grateful, Ya Allah. Ya Rab, anta kima thnayt ala nafsik. You are as you praise yourself, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We praise you by that secret and that reality, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And we ask you that you make the last thing we say in this life be la ilaha illallah. Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Wa fi al-akhirati hasana. Wa qina adhab an-nar. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. I love you all very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.